Welcome back to TechNet Radio. The scripting guy, Ed Wilson, is back for today's episode as he shares with us his Fab 5 PowerShell 3.0 tips and tricks. Tune in as we discuss automatic for each, flexible formatting, and much, much more. Blaine, the mic is yours.
Hello and welcome to IT Time. I'm your host, Blaine Barton, Senior IT Pro Evangelist here in Tampa, Florida, in my studio. And with me today, I have the monthly episode with Ed Wilson, Senior Technical Writer for Microsoft, all around PowerShell. How you doing, Ed?
I'm doing great, Blaine.
Good. Welcome back to the monthly episode.
Thank you.
You know, we're going to talk about your five favorite PowerShell 3.0 tips and tricks. That sounds like a great place to start is... Number one.
Well, my absolutely favorite PowerShell trick is what I call the automatic for each. So, for instance, if I do a query, I say get process, and I store those results back in a variable, then what you have to do with that in PowerShell 2 is you have to say, you know, for each, and then show me the name. Okay, so it's basically winds up being three commands, you know. So you get the processes, store them in a variable, pipe that through a for each, you know, to get the name, and you know, put those in a variable, and then you list the names. And that's not bad. I mean, lots and lots of programming languages do that. But what we do in PowerShell 3 is we will we know that if you say get process and store that in a variable, and you just say name, then we list out that name. And so now you get the names of all of those processes. And it is so extremely useful. And it's like, you know, Jeffrey Snover, the architect for PowerShell, what he says is, you know, we know that when you do this, this is what you want. And so we just tell PowerShell to do the right thing. And I like that. I was actually answering a guy on a blog post that I did back on Monday, August the 20th, when I was talking about my favorite PowerShell tips and tricks. And I listed in the answer, I said, you know, that PowerShell 3, these new things that we've added into PowerShell, you know, make PowerShell a much better PowerShell. You know, even if we don't talk about the new features, even if we don't talk about all the new commandlets and stuff, you know, but just talking about the syntax changes, and that's what I'm talking about.
Excellent. So what's number two?
Well, number two is I call these things squiggle brackets or curly brackets, or actually when I was in Copenhagen, Denmark, they refer to these things as Tuborgs, because if you look at the crown on the top of a bottle of Tuborg beer and the bottle's laying on its side, it looks like a curly brace. So these are Tuborgs,
where is the where object?
Absolutely. So, for instance, I can do a say we'll use get process, and I'm wanting to find a process that matches the word. You know, so I'm wanting to find oneword.exe. Well, in PowerShell 2, you would say get process. You pipe it to the where object. You open your Tuborg or your curly bracket, and then you say $_. Now, this thing just confuses people all to death. $_, what the heck is that? Then you choose the name property, and then you'll say if it matches word, and then you have to close your curly brackets. So this thing is just fraught with problems for somebody that's just learning PowerShell, you know, for newbies. And because now you got to explain what the heck these curly frauds are doing on their screen. Second of all, you got to explain, you know, what the heck this $_ is. Yeah, and in order to explain what a $_ is, you got to tell them what a pipeline is, because $_ represents the current item on the pipeline, and that's meaningless. And so it's like, dude, how are we supposed to learn this stuff? Yeah, and this is easier than VBScript. Give me a break. Okay, so in PowerShell 3, we can now type in a command that looks it's very readable. You know, get process. The pipeline is still there, but you can ignore it because you don't need to know about it. Where the name matches word. And so this is very, very simple syntax. It's a lot less typing, but more than that, it reads in a way that is understandable. Get process where the name matches word. You know, we get rid of the curly brackets, we get rid of the dollar sign underscore, we get rid of all that crap. Now, this is simplified syntax. Under the covers, we're adding all of that junk back in. And this works for a single where clause. So, you know, where the name matches word. Now, I can't come in and say where the name matches word and the file is equal to, you know, scripting guy, you know, 8-20-2012. I can't do that. But that's a compound where clause. For that, you have to go back to the old syntax. But for this, it works. And yeah, I'm not a newbie on PowerShell. You know, I've been using PowerShell since before it was called PowerShell. But I like this because it is less typing and it's much easier to read. And so for me, that's number two.
Yeah, less typing too. I see there. You know, the long way was, you know, using, you know, where object is shown, where you get process, where brackets, dollar sign, underscore, match the names, etc. And then the shorter way, like you mentioned, the where object, you know, get process, where name is matched with word, you know, less typing, easier to read. That's awesome, man. Number three, is that using local variables in remote sessions, perhaps?
Absolutely. In PowerShell 2, you can do this, because PowerShell 2, we introduced remoting. Remoting allows me to run a command on a remote computer. It is, like, so cool. But the problem is that a lot of times, you know, maybe my local computer has the the Active Directory admin tools in it. And so I do a query and I populate a variable with the name of all of my Windows 2012 servers, for instance. I talked about that in the scripting guy blog last week. But so I put that in a variable. That's local. It lives on my local machine. But now I want to go off and run a command maybe on the other side of a firewall that's going to go off and do something against those computers that are in that variable. To try to pass that in PowerShell 2 was very complicated. In PowerShell 3, it's simple. All I do is I use dollar sign using. So it almost looks a little bit like C sharp, you know, so we're going to be using something or other. So what am I going to use? Well, I'm going to use my local variable. So my list of computers is stored in my, is in a variable, you know, called computers or what have you. And then now I invoke my remote command, blah, blah, blah. And then for the computer names, I would just say dollar sign using colon and that variable name. And it is so sweet and it's so easy to remember. And you don't have to fool with like trying to pass argument lists and all of that other stuff that you did before. So it makes it work.
Good job, Ed. And let's talk about number four.
Number four is like so, so cool. It's what I call flexible script formatting. Now, when you look at code that's written using this, it's like, how does this work? So, for instance, I could like put parentheses around get process and put a period. And then I can hit enter. And so that the property that I'm trying to retrieve from that is on the next line. And then I can put a period after that, and then I can call a method on that property, such as getType or something. So it's like you look at it, and it goes, huh? How does this work? Well, and then the next question is, like, well, why is that a big deal? Well, the reason this is a big deal, for me anyway, and this is the cool thing about writing your own blog is when you say my favorite PowerShell tips and tricks, these are my favorite PowerShell tips and tricks. You know, not the product teams, they're not Blaine Barton's, they're not Chris Caldwell's, these are Ed Wilson's favorite tips and tricks, which means that they make an impact on my life. So I write books, I write blogs. Most of the time, I'm limited to 82 to 85 characters in width. Okay? Now, in this day of super high-resolution monitors and, you know, monitors that's as big as a bay window, I mean, that really seems archaic, and it is, but that's the form factor that we use for books and for the blog. And so because of this, you know, when this code starts to get really long, you have to break it. Now, we can use a backtick and to break the code. And, yeah, sometimes – and then when people copy it from the blog, guess what? You really did break the code. So I hate those. So you try to find ways to format your code to make it more narrow without actually breaking the code. And so this flexible script formatting allows me to make my code very narrow. Yeah, so I've got something that has like two dots in it and a method at the end, and I can put each of those on their own individual line, and PowerShell is smart enough to realize that, hey, we want to put this together as a single command. So for me, that's number four.
Excellent, excellent. And you know what? I've never done this in any of my IT Time episodes, coming up on probably 100 now, and I have yet to do this for anybody, but since you're such a good friend and colleague, I'm going to do this for you for the number five countdown. Here we go. Ready for this?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, buddy.
Cool.
Number five is...
All right. Number five is variable validation attributes. Now, a little bit of story on this. In PowerShell 2, we introduced parameter validation attributes. Now, this is something that if you're an intermediate PowerShell scripter and you want to become an advanced PowerShell scripter, learn this technique. And what this is going to do is this will vastly simplify your code. The reason is that variable validation attributes, suppose that I have a variable and I want this number to be within 1 to 5, okay? So I want it to be within a specific range. Then I use a validate range variable validation attribute. It's called validate range. And then I specify 1 to 5. I tell you, hey, dude, it's an integer. And then, sweet, we're on our way. Now, as long as that variable is within that range of 1 to 5, everything's groovy. It exceeds that, boom, you throw an error. At that point, you use try-catch finally to catch the error and to do what you need to do. The nice thing about this is by using variable validation attributes, and we got everything. We can even do a regular expression pattern, you know, so that we want this to say we're letting somebody type in social security numbers or zip codes. Or telephone numbers. You know, we can easily make sure that that input meets that regular expression pattern by using a variable validation so that we don't take that and allow that garbage to go someplace else and pollute the rest of our code. We catch it right there. So this is a sophisticated technique. It doesn't necessarily make the code easier to read unless you understand validation attributes. But once you understand those, then your code will be a whole lot simpler because in the past, we would write functions to do this validation, you know, like, you know, test dash zip code pattern, you know, so then you go in and you test it, make sure it meets that pattern, and then if it's groovy, you return true. If it's not, you return false. So that's like five lines of code. Now you can do that in a single line by validating on a particular pattern.
Excellent, excellent. So, ladies and gentlemen, hey, the scripting guy, top five PowerShell 3.0 tips and tricks, starting with your favorite, Ed. That was, of course, automated for each, right?
Absolutely.
Number two, where are squiggle brackets for where object?
Yep.
And number three, using local variables in remote sessions.
That's so sweet.
I know. And the fourth one, flexible script formatting.
That's something that for me is important. It may not be as important to everybody else.
Yeah, but you added it in. It's one of your favorites. And then the last one, five, variable validation attributes. With that, Ed Wilson, the scripting guy, senior technical writer from Microsoft, check out his blog. He's got a great post on this, including some screenshots in there as well. Anything else you want to leave us with, Ed?
No, that's about it. I do talk about each of these tips in my new PowerShell Step-by-Step 3.0 book from Microsoft Press. You can pre-order it right now from Amazon at a discount.
Excellent. Well, hey, once again, Ed, thanks for being on this episode, this monthly episode with you of IT Time. With that, it's a wrap.